Hey, Queens, before we get gay as fuck started, I have a delightful treat for you. As you know, I am doing a brand new season of Hey Queen on the Mothership with World of Wonder, streaming on WoW Presents Plus. And World of Wonder wanted me to share this special code for my podcast listeners to get 20% off their monthly subscription. So all you got to do is use the code JMGay, and honey, they're going to take this price under $4. You can get caught up on all of Hey Queen, plus all the international versions of Drag Race. Get over there and use the code JMGAY and get yourself 20% off your subscription to WoW Presents Plus, where you can watch all the new episodes of what? Hey Queen! Hey Queen!
It's a Kiki with John and Mick G. Gonna spill all the tea. All my LGBTs, you're in luck. Cause Johnny McGovern is gay as fuck.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Gay as Fuck. I am your host, Mr. John T. McGovernus, he who is. This is the show where pop culture and dirty gay stuff meet. Well, the only thing we can think about this week is Beyonce. Yes, I'm talking about Beyonce. We are living in a Cowboy Carter universe, sweetie. Everybody is still obsessed with Cowboy Carter. The internet continues to pull it apart and find the secrets, and who's she featuring, and what are the clues, and are the songs about Jay-Z, or what does it all mean? But most importantly, we are getting Beyonce making public appearances in cunty country outfits. Beyonce showed up at the iHeartRadio Awards to receive the Innovator Award. And baby, what did she do? Oh, she went to the Versace archive, sweetie. Yes, she did. And pulled out a Versace leather cowgirl look. Originally worn on the runway by Linda Evangelista. I mean, because we're talking high 90s Versace that she's rocking here. With that, her hair doing that thing that she's been doing. Look, Beyonce's always had perfect hair. But the Cowboy Carter live and in person hair, it's not just the white from Game of Thrones type of look. Now she's doing these big, long, heavy blonde waves, and yes, I approve 1,000,000%. Now the question remains, will there be videos, Beyonce? Beyonce, will there be videos? Now, we may have some kind of clue, because as of just moments ago, the Beehive has been sharing all over social media that Parkwood has launched a new website. All the fans have pulled together that Beyonce is hinting at an announcement. Only a star like Beyonce can hint at an announcement and have it make news on social media. She's hinting at an announcement on her website. Because they show a new link that says Always Been Country with a star and the horse like rearing up in the middle. And then when you click the link, it goes to a link that is, I guess, not currently active, but will be. And the link ends with .tv. Now, honey, you know .tv would make us think that perhaps we're going to have something to see, like we were watching TV. And that is what we want, because as much as I enjoy seeing Beyonce traipse around and be nice to fans and say hello to people and do award shows in cunty country outfits, I would really appreciate them in cunty country videos. So let's all say a little prayer. Dear Lord in heaven, Beyonce, please release videos this time. And you know what? Throw in the ones from Renaissance while you're at it. Now, this week over on the Patreon, me and Adam Joseph are listening to Cowboy Carter track by track. And when we recorded that earlier today, we had not heard anything except the singles. We did not listen to one thing. So what we are giving is our first impression on every single track. And do I love it? Well, honey, you're going to have to go over to patreon.com/gayestofalltime to find out, because we are being brutally honest about every track. But in the meantime, we got plenty to talk about on today's show. We got Britney, we got Pharrell, we got Justin and Haley, we got Rebel Wilson, we got J-Lo, we got Jill Zarin, we got Lizzo, we got Machine Gun Kelly. The tea is hot, so let's get into it.
Get into it. Get into it.
Britney has once again changed her name. Britney has changed her name.
Did I change my name?
You did.
Really?
You did.
Oh, I did.
Yes, I did. I changed my name to Exela. I changed my name to Exela. That's right, everyone. Please refer to me as Exela now. Exela Maria River Red to be in my full name.
Really, Brittany?
It's Exela.
Really, Exela?
Yes. And everyone must refer to me at all times by my phone name. Exela Maria Red. Exela Zela Maria Red. That is my name, or you'll be dead. You'll be dead. I love changing my name.
Brittany did actually, you know, we've gotten a couple things on her Instagram. She changed her name to Maria River Red for a while. We all thought that was going to be some kind of clue to something that was in the book, but it was not. And now she has changed her name to Exela. Well, she's added on Exela to Maria River Red. So it's Exela.
Exela Maria River Red, I told you.
Okay, jeez. Now, in a since-deleted post, she says, since I changed my name to Exela, I'm actually having a hard time understanding English. Now, of course, fans on Reddit were saying things like, Britney should release an album under the alter ego Exela Maria River Red and go all Lana Del Rey on us. One can dream. Well, she's had a couple different changes of name on her Instagram over the last couple years. In 22, she changed her name to Channel 8. So then again, we all thought there was some mystery, some clues. Remember, we all were looking for clues for everything that Britney was doing for a while. And it did. She did include footage of someone drawing a figure eight on a playing card. And then the next year, she said, Channel 8 is dumb. I'm changing my name to River Red. And she, along with that post, said, I see through it all. It has liquid and it's wet. It's playful and has mass. I changed my name to River Red, yet the fire is where it illuminates, to stare at it and jump right in with no fear at all. Then in July of that same year, she added Maria to her new title to be Maria.
Maria River Red.
Yes. People thought maybe at that time it was a tribute to Sam Asghari, but honey, he's gone. He's long gone. And from If You Believe the Blind Item, she's out there fucking Charlize Theron. I hope that's true. And then people notice that Maria River Red is an anagram of remarried. Okay. But that came after she was just divorced. So that's probably not it. Honey, we can make up all sorts of theories about everything anytime. So the whole post was actually about a vacation that she was went on, and she also was talking about her intermittent fasting, because I guess she was modeling bikinis. We'll just get into the whole thing. She says, I've started intermittent fasting this week. It can make you feel weak for a few days, but then you get a natural high from the toxins being released. I actually feel a little too tiny and weak, and I think about shooting for Instagram right now. I feel too tiny and too weak to even think about shooting for Instagram right now. But honestly, I like the spiritual dimension I'm on. Honey, this bitch is hungry. I think we all have our level of prayer. I think I've experienced pretty low levels, but also the highest levels as well. It's pure purification in its utmost way to go into your body
in your mind to find your most enlightened states of consciousness seems so rad. My favorite part of this trip is being naked in the water. I saw two crabs walking with shells on their backs, crab emoji. My friend picked up one and I screamed. The only fish I saw were extremely small, white, clear baby fish swam with them in the shallow end. The boat was exciting, except I wanted to drive it. They used to let me drive it before, dot, dot, dot. Not sure why they didn't this time. I'll roll emoji, I'll roll emoji, I'll roll emoji. Since I changed my name to Xela, I'm actually having a hard time understanding English. The dress I'm wearing in my pics is the only dress that actually fits me. When I go out at night, I like having dinner by myself. It's so weird, but I adore people. That's why I'm telling you guys about this hairspray I'm spraying. Every hairdresser I've ever knows I won't shut about Orbe hairspray. But seriously, go buy it and tell me what the hell you think. It's that good. I know. Xela, what were you going through?
I was hungry.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, Brittany did make a weird public appearance this week. One of my followers on Patreon, Cameron K, sent me a little update, which included Brittany. Now, she was scrolling through Bijou Phillips' Instagram page, because we know Bijou Phillips, who was married to Danny Masterson, who is about to go to jail for all that raping that he was doing back in the day, and Scientology raping, which is the worst kind of raping. And she was surprised that first that Bijou Phillips even had her Instagram up with her husband going to jail for rape and noting that she looks fucked up in most of the pictures. But what she was really surprised was when she was scrolling through the page and saw a picture on Bijou's page. And she saw, wait a minute, is that Britney Spears? And it was Bijou Phillips, Paris Hilton, looking a lot like Kathy, and Britney Spears, who was covering her face and not tagged and had her hair very not combed. I guess Britney is hanging out with Paris, who brought over to Bijou's. And as Cameron noted, oh, Cade Cocksuck is there as well. Now, who is Cade Cocksuck? Cade is her agent, who we believe to be a homosexual, who also seems to be Britney's best friend. And I just got to say that Cade Cocksuck is really one of the best names I've ever heard for anyone in my whole life. Cade, is it wise for Britney to be hanging out with Bijou Phillips at this time? I mean, Cade, get it together. Paris, you too. You know, Paris has been in... You know what I don't really appreciate about Paris is Paris always coming so hard... This is on another tangent, but Paris coming so hard for the Kyle Richards side of the family whenever they get into a fight with her mother. Because when Kyle and Kathy were fighting after the 2 years ago Beverly Hills reunion, Paris was being a real cunt in the comments. And then also now when Mauricio was talking about his business dealings with Hilton and Highland and how he quit on his Buying Beverly Hills show, Paris had to chime in, basically said, I wish this guy would keep my dad's name out of his fucking mouth and stop trying to get promotion for his lame show. Paris, that's your family right there. And even if Mauricio is only your family by marriage, I mean, your cousins are on that show. That is their show. I mean, that seems quite rude. Now, I don't know if anybody watches Buying Beverly Hills because I do not. But what from I've gathered, the new season of Buying Beverly Hills came on right after the last season of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, which was purportedly meant to be all about Kyle and Mauricio getting divorced. But the real juice that we got on camera was kind of tepid. Now it's very interesting because it seems that Buying Beverly Hills might really have all of the juice, including the actual conversation where they reveal to the daughters that they are going to split up. Interesting. Will it make me watch Buying Beverly Hills? Probably not, but I do find it interesting.
just because I really can't get enough of Britney Spears' stream of consciousness posts that she posts and then deletes that I miss and then they report on later, there's more. She changed her hair color, and she does not like it.
I have not been really good with my self-care. I haven't done my nails in 2 months, and I did my first ever laser treatment for my face only a week ago. Kind of hurt, though. Not a fan. I always wanted my hair white blonde. And, well, I did it. And I absolutely hate it. It's actually 2 white blondes. I'm fixing it tomorrow. I do look way younger. Kind of creeps me out. And my eyes do look extremely big now. But I don't like it.
And she posts a lot of bikini photos for this vacation that she was on with, perhaps, Kate Coxsock. And there's a lot of other things that happen on this trip that I'm not sharing as well. Nothing is what it seems sometimes. I portray that everything is completely perfect.
Really?
But trust me, I've been through it. And I would share those struggles, but they're too difficult to share. These experiences would make people extremely sad. And honestly, there's not a damn thing I can do about it. So just know my life is not as perfect as it seems. And I just want to remind all my beautiful friends, you're not alone.
Well, I mean, that is sweet. And I bet Britney Britney has been through a lot of shit that we would all be shocked by and would make us sad. So, honey, just keep on spinning, making the videos, doing your hair white blonde, yellow blonde, gold blonde, whatever you want. Just please join OnlyFans and monetize all these ass shots that you are doing. Please, we want you to be financially stable. Just join OnlyFans and post the same stuff there. Charge even $5 a month. You'd make millions a month.
You make millions?
Yes.
Maybe.
Well, we can all hope. Now, the Diddy drama is continuing on, of course. Now, some clips that we have talked about early on in this show where Diddy is talking to Justin Bieber, being like, why, how have you been coming around me no more? How come I don't get to see you no more? Where you been? Where you been? I don't even have your number. And Justin is very awkwardly being like,
I think we tried to call you through your people. And
I mean, this is when he was much younger. So many clips like that have been coming forward and getting reposted again, because now people are, as Diddy's dirty dungeon is being revealed, all of that quiet on the set with the child stars being abused. I think people are realizing that it is a very good possibility that when Usher lived with Diddy and when Diddy was hanging out with Justin Bieber, that there is a very good possibility that they were somehow affected by Diddy in an inappropriate manner. There's actually, I just saw a really weird clip where Diddy is saying goodbye to Justin Bieber and he's like touching him on his torso. And I didn't quite understand what it was. But then in the video, they say, is Diddy checking Justin for a wire? And then if you watch it again, it's like he's tapping he's like, what's that? Tapping on his shirt, tapping, feeling, pressing his shirt down, tapping around. And then he pulls him in and he whispers something. And it makes Justin look who knows what, but not happy. And they sort of say bye and they don't look at each other and walk away. Do you think Diddy's being like, and don't you motherfucking tell any of those things, those parties that I took you to, if you tell anybody, I'll shoot your ass. I mean, because we know that Diddy was extremely, you know, the kind of person that would put a gun on the table during a meeting just to let you know it was there. We know he threatened to kill Kid Cudi and many, many other people. It seems like Diddy, for as cuddly as he kind of seemed in the early years with, you know, take that, and all the rest, and harmless he seemed, we know this motherfucker was truly evil. So it wouldn't be beyond him to be whispering some kind of threat to Justin Bieber as they parted ways after he checked him for a wire. I mean, very strange. Other people from Diddy's family, including two of his sons, have released footage from the FBI raid of Diddy's house to say that it was too much, because it looked like it was a fully militarized raid with the cops coming at them with guns blazing, grabbing them, slamming them on the ground, and doing whatever it took. So that goes to make you think that the FBI probably thinks they have a lot of nasty, dirty, rotted, gutted stuff on Diddy if they're going this hard to make sure that nobody gets the fuck away, including young men. Though, I mean, if you look at some of the lawsuit of Rodney Lil Rod, he made it appear that Justin's sons are in on some of this stuff with their dad, which is extra dark. Also, now, remember, Albie Shore was one of the only people left from Uptown Records. Listen, if you go back to episode 2, where we're talking about every gay charge against Diddy, you can really get filled in on this whole thing. But something, a quick recap is that, look, there was Uptown Records. That's where Diddy got his start. And the people that really were the key players at Uptown Records back in the early 90s were Andre Harrell, Kim Porter, Heavy D, and Albie Shore. And of course, Diddy. Now, all those people, except for Albie Shore, are dead. Okay? Dead. Andre Harrell, dead. Kim Porter died of an pneumonia. Very suspicious for a woman in relatively good health and who was young. Heavy D died of a mysterious heart attack. Andre Harrell, mysterious heart attack. And then there was a lot of conspiracy videos going around being like, the only person who is not dead from that whole group other than Diddy. Oh, and also Biggie, dead. The only person not dead was Albie Shore. And he had been almost lost his life and had been in a coma in 2022. Now, there was never any direct connection other than people speculating that, Diddy maybe murdered all the rest of those fucking people. And maybe he tried to do it to Albie Shore because he didn't want anyone to know, anyone with the original secrets to ever spill them. Well, it now seems that Albie Shore is out there and insinuating that Diddy did play a role in his 2022 coma. Now, he was talking at a LA award show, the Equal Justice Now Awards. Everybody was at that.
Finally, we are going to be producing the Albie Shore life story. So hold on to your riches, and you'll really understand how I ended up in a coma. You're really going to need to call Homeland Security.
The audience knew exactly what he was insinuating when he said Homeland Security. Now, another interesting thing that's going on with Albie Shore is that Albie Shore's biological son is Quincy Combs. Okay, who has been living as Diddy's son ever since Diddy was with Kim Porter. And Albie Shore is in an estranged relationship with him over the years, dating back to the 90s. Albie Shore recently made a public expressed publicly to Quincy that you can come home after all of the drama going on in Diddy's life right now. But I mean, Quincy's a grown man, so if he didn't get along with Albie Shore then, who knows? I mean, it's probably been quite, Albie Shore is not rich. Well, Diddy is very rich, so who can tell what's going on the inside of that relationship? Another shady fucking rumor going around TikTok is that Diddy, now that all the lawsuits are coming home to roost, is planning to make deals by ratting out everybody that he's ever dealt with in any kind of shady dealings. Including the earth-shaking rumor that he plans to expose Jay-Z for having his mistress murdered so that Beyonce didn't find out. Now, honey, I know those are bold words, but that is what the detectives are talking about on TikTok. A woman named Kathy White, who was publicly known to be someone who like to find rich men and go after them and be there for a good time, not a long time, as her profile said, was supposedly Jay-Z's mistress. She used to run her own PR firm. She hung around with Claudia Jordan and used to call herself a self-described homewrecker, calling a man is useless unless he has a net worth of $50 million. But supposedly, now she died at 28. Very suspicious. And the unsubstantiated tea is that she got pregnant right around the same time Beyonce was pregnant and was threatening to do a tell-all interview. And then, honey, she disappeared, never to be seen from again. And the rumor is that Diddy knows that it was Jay-Z, and that is what one of the things he's going to expose. Baby. Wow. I mean, who knows? Who knows? That is interesting. Very interesting. Kanye West was at the Cheesecake Factory right near my house this week. I mean, that is too funny. Now, there's a lot of problems with Kanye West and his views and things that he said and even his boring music, except for Everybody, the one with the Backstreet Boys sample. That was good. There are many, many problems with him. But one problem I do not have with him is his supposed love for the Cheesecake Factory. Because, baby, I love the Cheesecake Factory, too. Yes, I do. I have never gone to the Cheesecake Factory and not had a delightful meal. Is it overpriced? Is it bad for you? Yes. But is it delicious? And do I always have a lovely experience with tons of free iced tea refills? Yes, I do. And honey, but I've got to let you know, there's levels of Cheesecake Factories around the LA area, okay? There's the Beverly Hills Cheesecake Factory, okay? And that's where we go. That's where Kathy Hilton goes, okay? That's where, if you want an upscale Cheesecake Factory experience, you go to the one in Beverly Hills. And then there's one in Culver City, which is more of a mall experience. But the worst, actual worst one is the one at the Grove, because it's the Grove. It's the main mall in LA. It's always a million people waiting. It's always packed. It's always tons of things. I would never want to go to the one at the Grove. But who did want to go there? Kanye and Bianca, honey. And what did Bianca wear? Well, let's take a look at it. As we know, Bianca, Kanye's current wife, loves to just wear very little. I mean, maybe just a pantyhose and a bra, or maybe topless with a plastic bag over her if it's the rain. Famously, Bianca wore a full just spandex bodysuit with no underwear during the Easter egg hunt with Kanye's kids. And baby, Kanye had to wait for a table at Cheesecake Factory. But Bianca is wearing basically a spandex one piece long sleeve see-through bathing suit. Honey, the Cheesecake Factory has seen a lot, but I don't think it's seen giant boobs and pussy out as much as we had in Bianca's outfit, honey. Now, interestingly, we know nothing about Bianca, right? We don't know who the fuck she is, what she's like. We just know that she's there wearing crazy stuff. She's looking hot, maybe sucking his dick on a boat through the canal in Venice. But recently, some clips have been showing up of her actually speaking, which gives us a little idea of what this woman who married this crazy man is like and what's going through her head.
I'm an architectural designer from Melbourne, Australia. I currently reside in Los Angeles and I'm a lead architectural designer at Yeezy. In my time there, I've had the pleasure of being able to work with designers like James Turrell, Valeria Orgiardi, and Vincent Van Dyson. My passion for architecture lies in fabrication, conceptualizing the future of built space, and exploring the bridge between the physical and the meta. When I was formally studying architecture, I was really interested in the ideas of the unbuilt. It was always mocked as paper architecture, which was always said to be a great concept, but totally unbuildable. And there was this paper trail of many genius designers, which I found way more interesting, as those ideas typically broke down through broke through formal language, bureaucracy, and engineering consideration. I'm really interested in the concept that the metaverse becomes a manifestation of many buildings and ideas before us that never had the chance to be constructed. It's such a major part of architectural exploration and a huge reality for any designer.
Architecture designer, it's me, Bianca Sensori. I love architecture. I love wearing plastic bags over my nude body when it rains. I love wearing a spandex long sleeve bathing suit see-through number to the Cheesecake Factory. We do not have Cheesecake Factory in Australia. And we love it. This is not an Australian accent. I don't know exactly what it is. My name is Bianca Sensori. I mean, though, I get it. Though hearing her talk about architecture and all of that does make me think, like, you know, there was a point when everyone was like, oh my God, Bianca's just being controlled by Kanye and she's forced to wear these outfits. Honey, she worked at Yeezy and she's a fan of architecture and designers. She's into it. She's into this public experiment as far as I can tell, until she comes out with her tell-all book, I guess. Who knows? But that clip made me think, like, she's in on it. I mean, she's into making the scene and wearing the looks. Where you go from there, I don't know. But, I mean, Kanye is still a 500 millionaire, even if he's not a billionaire anymore. So, she's going to the Cheesecake Factory. She's going around. Actually, my friend Marlon was having dinner at the Chateau Marmont. And as he was leaving, he saw this beautiful woman in sparkly Gucci logo tights. And he, as he was walking past, he said, oh, fabulous tights. And then he heard a sound behind him. It was someone being like, huh. And he said, oh, ah. And it was Kanye. And they were there unloading black plastic garbage bags of all of their stuff. Or were they the Balenciaga black plastic garbage bags? They were standing there while all of the staff unloaded a huge SUV of black plastic garbage bags to check in, I guess, to the chateau. And so he introduced himself. She said, I'm Bianca. I love architecture. And he said, I'm Kanye. And he said, of course you guys are here. Fabulous. And I guess that was it. And then they all awkwardly waited. They waited for the luggage to be undone. And they waited. And Marlon waited for his car to be ready. Interesting, though. I mean, Kanye has multiple homes in Los Angeles, yet he is checking into the Chateau Marmont. Just burn that money to the ground, honey. Burn it to the ground. He's like, I want to go to my home in Calabasas, but it's not close enough to the Cheesecake Factory at the Grove. And that's the most important thing. Everybody, yeah, go to Cheese Factory. Yeah, order the miso salmon and the Thai lettuce wraps. Just when we thought Pharrell was having the best year ever, it looks like he is in a battle with his ex Neptune's producing partner, Chad Hugo. Now, if you don't know, then Pharrell came to fame as part of the duo, the Neptunes, in the 90s, late 90s, where they produced for Clips, Khalees. I mean, and then eventually it started producing Britney Spears. All those hits, that was Chad Hugo and Pharrell. Now, Pharrell, of course, became the breakout star, but Chad Hugo was there all the way, and they were a duo. They produced for Beyonce, Jay-Z, like I said, Khalees, Justin Timberlake. I mean, Chad Hugo was there through all that.
But on Monday, Hugo's lawyers filed a case against Pharrell, arguing that the star was attempting to unjustly trademark the Neptune's name. Now, if approved, the trademarks would give Pharrell the sole control over the name, fraudulently, as Hugo's lawyer said, and cutting Hugo out, violating their alleged agreement to split everything evenly. And that's what his lawyer says. Throughout their 30-year history, Hugo and Williams agreed to, and in fact have divided, all assets. By ignoring and excluding Hugo from any and all applications filed by the applicant for the mark, the Neptunes, the applicant has committed fraud in securing the trademarks and acted in bad faith. Now remember, the Neptunes have had a history of being shady, legally. I know we all love Pharrell. He's the positive energy king from Louis Vuitton and The Voice and Happy and all the rest of that. But ask Khalees what she thinks about the Neptunes. I mean, Khalees supposedly wrote or co-wrote all the songs on her debut album, as well as on her follow-up, Tasty, which had Milkshake on it. Yet, she was not given any publishing for any of those songs, therefore not making any money on those songs in the future, because she was signed to Star Trek, the Neptune's label. And if she was just singing on those songs, she was probably making nothing, even on the songs that were mega hits like Milkshake, because it's the publishing where the money is at. And she has for years had a grudge against them for basically ripping her off. So are the Neptunes now turning on each other to be shady? And who's the shadiest of the Neptunes? We're going to have to see how that turns out.
Shady as fuck!
Bette Midler gagged the world this week when she said she wants to join the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Baby! Now, you know Bette Midler is one of my all-time favorites. I'm a number one fan of Ruthless People, Down and Out in Beverly Hills, and of course, the greatest film of all time, Outrageous Fortune. Now, Bette originally has said for many years said she hated LA, but apparently she's back in LA. She's loving it. And she tweeted this: "Is it too late for me to become a Real Housewives of Beverly Hills? I've never watched it, but I am in the mood to talk some shit and get paid for it. A dream. Hashtag R-H-O-C-B-H. Now that got 691,000 views. Now Andy Cohen wrote back, "It's time, Diamond." And then Bette Midler wrote back again, "I think my tagline should be, those beaches don't know what's about to hit them." Baby, if you could imagine. I mean, talk about a new grand dame of Beverly Hills if Bette Midler would join. Now, is this something ever going to happen? No, it is not. Bette Midler, if she's never watched The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, then she's in for a horrible surprise. Also, I don't think they could afford her. They would have to back up the Brinks truck to have Bette Midler let them bring all the cameras into her life and be in the drama with Kyle and Erica Jane and everybody else. I mean, you thought it was uneven power when Bethany came back to Real Housewives of New York after kind of having a break and becoming a bigger star. Do you think there would be any balance of power in the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills if Bette Midler was there? You'd be there on Bette Midler's side or you'd be fucking dead. You know what I mean? I mean, I'd love to watch it, but I just can't imagine it actually happening. But we can dream. We can dream. J-Lo's tour is bombing. Sorry, J-Lo. Because look, we know she canceled 7 dates of her show, of her This Is Me Now Live. Because I think we can officially say This Is Me Now was a bomb. We've talked about it plenty on here. Why it's a bomb, why it was weird. Though I did have a theory that I was talking with Kevin Aviance about the other day. And he said something I was thinking. I asked him what he thought of This Is Me Now. And he said, "Should have done it in Spanish, girl. She should have done it in Spanish." And I thought to myself, she should have done it in Spanish. Because look, remember when J-Lo, after like putting my Louboutins on. It was such a bomb. She really kind of dropped out of music for a while, was focusing on movies. And then she came back to music, but she did it through Latin music. And she did that Dinero song. And she did a whole, I think she did a whole Latin album. And those songs were hits, big hits. She made glamorous videos, and the Latin market loved it. Now, I thought, God, you know what? If she had done This Is Me Now in Spanish, almost with a telenovela feel, it would have been a mega hit all throughout the Latin world. So, I mean, you get South American market, you got Mexico, you have Spain, you have all, like, in Europe. I mean, there's so many places where that might have been huge. The Philippines. And it would have actually, the fact that it wasn't Spanish may have made it seem less cheesy and somehow more of a delight. I don't know why, but I feel like that's what she should have done. She should have said, no, America, you English speakers, fuck that. I'm doing this for my Latin audience. And then, you know, if you want to be part of it, America, get in, but read the subtitles. But I guess when you put up $20 million of your own money, you really want it to be as accessible to the world as possible. But I think Kevin Obvious was right. She should have done it in Spanish, girl. She should have done it in Spanish. Well, J-Lo had to cancel 7 dates on the tour and is apparently still struggling to sell tickets. And they've changed the name of the tour from This Is Me Now to This Is Me Live, The Greatest Hits. Variety says, the latest rebrand suggests a pivot from a tour focusing on the new album songs to one spanning her discography, a move that may entice listeners who didn't connect with her latest material, which is everyone. No one connected with her latest material. Jill Zarin is on Below Deck. The new season of Below Deck is on. Now, you know I love Below Deck, okay? It's very soothing. The biggest problems anyone has is that, you know, the primary doesn't like lobster. So I started watching it the pandemic because I found those types of problems, like, not problems at all and, like, easy to watch. They always have sexy people in the cast, and they do show them taking their shirts off and making out and even doing sex in the bed sometimes. And they go to pretty places. Well, Jill Zarin is on the latest episode as a friend of a primary, so she wasn't the main person paying for the whole thing. But she is getting tons of backlash because she was fully Jill Zarin on this show, and she was very demanding of the staff and criticizing of what they were doing and had the food being cold or not enough we're not knowing where the plugs for the hair dryer was, or the fact that there were no Q-tips, Tums, Band-Aids in the main suite, and all that should be there. I mean, honestly, for the amount of money people were paying to go on the Below Deck, which is still not cheap, I think she's probably right about that. There should not be cold food, and you should have everything stocked in your room for that amount of money for 2 days. Now, one of the girls from the show, Barbara Barbie Pascal, who in the show is definitely saying, I hate Jill Zarin. She's one of the staff. I hate Jill Zarin. She's horrible. Fuck her. But when she did watch it back, she said, you guys, I watched the show back and I don't think Jill was as bad as it looked. And I just want to say there were so many other wonderful moments where she was super fun and sweet and nice. And she was demanding, but not rude. And she was asking for things that are actually normal yacht requirements and pretty logical. Exactly. And look, she wanted nugget ice in her Diet Coke, and she wanted her Diet Coke to be really cold. Honey, if I went on a cruise, I would want that too. I definitely want nugget ice, and I want Coke Zero. But of course, the fans just can't enjoy Jill Zarin being Jill Zarin. They have to try to rip her to shreds and be mean to her and tell her she's thirsty or whatever the fuck else. I don't appreciate that. I like Jill Zarin. I enjoy her on television, and I like her being demanding. As long as I'm not the server on the yacht, I'm all good, and I want to watch it. Face. Now, she's not the world's greatest beauty, but I'll never forget that years ago, she was one of the first people to have a liquid facelift. That is where they put filler just in the line all the way around the upper part of your face so that it just naturally lifts the face up. Baby, she looked better than ever at that time. So young. I mean, I think she's in her 60s and she still looks incredible. Yeah, I'm zooming in on her picture right now. She looks great. I wonder if she still has the liquid facelift. Whatever it is, it's working. And she doesn't look weird. That's correct. She does not look weird. Now, I actually had a really fun conversation with the host of the Discretion Advised podcast, as well as a famous pornography purveyor. He's director for The Naked Sword and for Falcon. He's worked with all the biggest. We had a really fun conversation. And during that conversation, he told me all about his time on an upcoming season of Below Deck and gave us a little behind the scenes tea. So, now the full interview will be on my Patreon, but I want you guys to check out this part of the spilled all the behind the scenes tea. So let's dip into my conversation with Mark McNamara. And if you enjoy him, you can check out the Discretion Advised podcast. Comes out every 2 weeks, and it's personally one of my favorites. Like this show, they like to talk about dirty gay stuff and pop culture too. So let's join that conversation already in progress.
I filmed Below Deck last summer with Detox. That hasn't aired yet.
You did?
But yeah, fucking, we can talk about it.
Yes.
It was supposed to be Bianca and Detox. What a deflection
from your deep personal life. I like it.
I'm a good deflector.
Way to go, because this is a tasty morsel.
Yes.
I love Below Deck. I'm into Below Deck. Below Deck takes a touch from your line of work. They always make sure we see an ass or a couple shirtless torsos from the male crew members in every episode, which I got to tell you, keeps me involved.
You need it.
When the crew's too ugly, it's not always a good season. We need what we need.
Exactly. You need that little yacht candy.
So tell me about it. You went on.
Yes.
Now, who paid?
So how it is set up is that you get an extreme discount.
Right. But you still need to be rich, because it's like you're still going to pay, what, $40,000?
I don't know as a whole how much pay, you pay. I know, like, individually how much we pay.
What rich person did you get to pay for this?
Oh, no. I paid for my part.
Alert.
I paid for my part. And we gave extra for the tips, too. Because then, that's another part. The tip is built in. $15,000.
Oh, it is built in.
I actually don't know if I've signed anything, so hopefully not.
You can call me later if you need to take it out.
$15,000 is built into the tip, and then you can choose what you want on top of that.
Right.
And we know
if you do anything less than 20, you're a...
We did more than 20, so we're safe.
Yeah, if it's over 20, sometimes they'll just they'll roll by. Yay! Yeah. Honey, you don't want to be that person who came on and gave them... Anything less than 20 is like, because sometimes they'll be like, oh, okay, and never mention it, but other times they'll roast your ass.
Destroy you. And they got, I'm trying to walk the line of not, like you said, like when you know something and not say something, people got in trouble when we were there. So I don't know how
Detox fucked everyone on the crew.
basically, we had a good time. Me and her shared the main cabin. So it's like very spacious, the main cabin. We went on, it was sailing yacht, the one that we did.
Oh, so you went on sailing yacht. My dream is to go on adventure.
But I don't think they canceled it.
They did?
Well, because Captain Carey is now the main captain on the other one.
It wasn't for the adventures, because I love cold weather. And I thought, a cruise in cold weather on a yacht? Fabulous.
They don't want to do it.
It's done.
Not enough holes.
So what else how was the food?
Okay. Bad.
Really?
There was a very young chef, and I understand you're very young and you're just now onto solid foods, but it was like, you have to step your pussy up for this. We've been around the world. We want to see some razzle dazzle. And I gave them that note, and then he killed it. And then he fed me clams one morning on accident, and I threw up everywhere.
Would you think we'll see that in the edit?
I hope not, because I took my mic off and threw it and ran. And good. So hopefully,
girl, you know what it takes to get the footage or not get the footage.
I did. There was another moment too where some people were fighting, and I took their mics off and I said, "We're not going to be that people."
Who did you go on this cruise with?
Detox.
Okay. And others, unnamed stars of the adult world.
No, okay. No, it was supposed to be Detox, Bianca, and me. And that's how I got roped in, because I'm good friends with Bianca. Right. I was over filming in South Africa at the time, and Detox called me, hey, do you want to be on Below Deck with us next month? And I was like, yeah, absolutely. But that's all the details I got. And then Bianca ended up not being able to go because of his dog.
She left you in the lion's den with Detox.
Well, I've known Detox forever. We actually went to the same high school.
You did?
We did. We Detox both went to high school.
Detox is such a down ass bitch. So nice. So fun. Every interaction beautiful has too always been a good time.
She is serving Goldie Hawn and Overboard the entire crew. So yes, look out for that.
Yes. Thank you, gay Jesus, for that.
I think it
that
won't come out until September, though.
Well, we just got a preview, didn't we?
You got a preview of that. Am I
how hot were the crew members?
Okay.
And you
so
know
Captain
hot,
Glenn
so
has a gigantic dick.
Oh.
Like, it walks in the room dick first.
Interesting.
You could see every little nook and cranny on that beast.
I did that. Captain Glenn's big thick cock was not big on my bingo card.
It won't fit. That's why.
Right. That's why. Is there's only a dick mushroom print.
B-I-N, and then the rest. It's
wow.
Just, it's huge.
Okay, honey. Thank you, Mark. If you want to hear my full interview with Mark, head over to patreon.com/gayest of all time. We talk about his love affair with world famous porn star Diego Sands, how he got started, the Discretion Advised podcast, what he likes in a man, where he meets the men that he does, how he continues to enjoy sex with sex being the thing he has to film all day long, and many other fun things. He was definitely a delight. So you'll want to check that out, sweetie.
We've come a long way from the rough rides, from the railroads to the rodeo, sweet country home. This for my.
All right, if you've enjoyed today's show, honey, well then, leave me a nice fucking review. I have 149 reviews. I'd really like to get to 200 by the end of May, at the least. So I need 50 of you to go ahead and rate it, write something nice, write that it's your favorite show ever. Why? I mean, they always just, you know what it is? People look at it, if you have no reviews, it looks like nobody listens to the show. So we don't want that, do we? We want to have a healthy number. So please, take a moment, say you love it, say you hate it. I mean, who cares? Just say something. Let's get those review numbers up so Daddy can have a smile on his face. Haven't I earned it? Yes, I have. And definitely come and visit me over at patreon.com/gayestofalltime. We're doing relaxing tea ASMR, where I read you all the tabloids and whisper. Adam and I are doing our Cowboy Carter full-on two-part listening party where we go track to by track through every song on Cowboy Carter. You can hear my full interview with Mark McNamara and all his sexy adventures and so much more. So go over there to patreon.com/gayestofalltime. And don't forget to watch Hey Queen. Incredible guests coming up. We're getting into the top four. So we're talking all the biggest girls. My interview with Morphine just came out this week, and it is a good one. And if you want to join, just use the code JOINWOWPresentsPlus for a discount. Use my code JMGAY. That's right. Use the code JMGAY. And honey, you can get 20% off, and it's a fucking bargain. You can also watch UK versus the World 2, which I just finished watching and loved. As well as a comedy special, Julie Goldman's on it, a couple of other gay comics that I know, hosted by Lawrence Chaney. I think it's called House of Laughs. All the international drag races, and so much more. So why don't you do that? Shall ya? Yes, you shall. And I'll see you next time on Gay as Fuck. Bye, baby.
Pretty as hell, all natural, dining on parts. Bucking, whoa. They yanking your chain, promising things that they can't. You the man at the bank, is you is or you ain't. Hit the runway, I'm late. Pop-pops got pictures to take. It's in my DNA. Look at my mama, it's the same things that I know will offend. Where that shit that I know.
flow start a trend. Say that Bugatti out for the spin. Ain't no time to feel a win on my skin. Ooh. Yeah. Bucket, 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 like a mechanical bull.